This week, top Trump campaign officials, including the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort, met behind closed doors with the Senate Intelligence Committee to talk about their contacts with Russians during the 2016 election. Now, those contacts included the now famous meeting between Kushner, Manafort, Donald Trump Jr., and a Russian lawyer that occurred last year. Now, there are legal questions about this meeting, of course, and political ones, but if you're a career intelligence officer, what is the biggest question raised by that meeting? Well, Rolf Moat Larsen served as a CIA intelligence officer for more than 20 years. He's now director of the Intelligence and Defense Project at Harvard's Belfer Center. And for Moat Larsen, the biggest question is, was the meeting actually a Russian intelligence operation? And Rolf Moat Larsen joins us now from Cambridge. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello, Magna. This is Rolf. Yeah, I'm pleased to be here. Thank you.
No, it's great to have you. So you have written in a couple of different places that, you know, everything that we know about the meeting so far, that meeting again with Donald Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer last year, bears the hallmarks of an early Russian intelligence operation. Why is that?
The way that the Russians operate is traditional, what we call in the intelligence world, the tradecraft, is very similar, whether it's CIA or the FSB, the Russian intelligence service, that would have been pulling this off. And though the hallmarks of those approaches were all evident in the meeting, it doesn't mean that it's proven or that it's a fact that the Russian intelligence sponsored the meeting. And as I suggested in the op-ed I wrote in the Washington Post, it just bears all the similarities to the way we would go about that. What I mean by that is it was essentially a trial balloon. It was a probe using what we would call an access agent or a cutout, someone the Russian government could deny if necessary. That would be the lawyer, mm-hmm. Natalia Velitskaya. And what she would be asked to do, if it was in fact a Russian intelligence operation, is test whether the Trump campaign was willing to enter into essentially a conspiracy with the Russian government to sabotage their opponent, Hillary Clinton's campaign. That, if that was in fact an intelligence probe, that would be the goal. And the reason it was rather elegant in my view is because now we're all talking about it as to whether that is possible or not, because it can't be proven unless, of course, subsequent facts emerge that the campaign was aware that it was a Russian intelligence operation and entered into that witting conspiracy.
So to that point, I mean, again, we don't yet know for sure either way. But if indeed, let's just speculate for a moment. If indeed it was a Russian intelligence operation and it was an early one to test willingness, didn't the campaign prove its willingness by not only agreeing to the meeting but attending it?
Certainly, that would be my conclusion. If I were running a test like this, and we do this in the CIA, certainly that would be what I would conclude from the meeting. The fact is, she represented herself as a Russian government lawyer. There's no Russian government lawyer who would come to a meeting like this promising to provide compromising material on a candidate that certainly they should have understood that would come from the Russian government. What private Russian would have compromising material on Hillary Clinton other than the Russian government? Third part is they accepted the meeting, as you said. And then the fourth part, which is extremely important to note, is that apparently they didn't report it, and the Russians would have known that in two ways. First, the FBI would have certainly then looked into all the other things we know were going on at that time, Russian activity, intelligence activity that we know was underway at that time, to gather information on the candidates and ultimately to leak that information, for example, on the Democratic National Committee through WikiLeaks. What would have happened if they had known that this probe had occurred? It probably would have dampened that activity. Plus, they certainly had to conclude that the Trump campaign at least was interested in considering the offer because it wasn't reported to the authorities, as anyone should have been expected to do.
Mm. So, broadly speaking, again, walk me through a little bit more of the tradecraft here. This doesn't have to be specifically regarding the Trump Jr. Russian lawyer meeting, but in other cases, when the willingness is shown after that first trial balloon, what are then the next steps that intelligence operatives take?
Again, if this was an intelligence operation, the key, say, hurdle that would have been overcome at that point is they would have understood that at least in the Russian analysis of what happened, the Trump campaign was not reporting this to the United States government.
Yeah.
Secondly, they would have concluded that, therefore, it was worth trying to establish a second contact, probably in more, say, friendly, we call turf, rather than in the United States in the Trump Tower, which would be considered hostile ground. You wouldn't take significant risks there. Supposing the FBI showed up for the meeting, that they agreed to the meeting, but they had already reported it to the government. An intelligence organization has to consider those possibilities. But once a Trump campaign person, say, for example, traveled to Russia, they could be much freer as a result of this meeting to come directly to their intention and see whether there was an interest in pursuing a deal between the Trump campaign and the Russian government to essentially sabotage Clinton's campaign.
Hmm. Well, but of course, as you know, just this week, Jared Kushner had released a statement and spoke with the Senate Intelligence Committee, not under oath, I would note. But he stresses, quote, "I did not collude, nor know of anyone else in the campaign who colluded with any foreign government." And again, Kushner and Donald Trump Jr. both say that, you know, if there was any information exchanged in that meeting, it was nothing of interest to them. So does that matter? Does that change your analysis of what that potential meeting, the import of that meeting might have been?
Well, certainly the facts matter. At this point, we don't know for a fact that there is any illegal or conspiratorial collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. And it's important to bear that out until we do have that evidence. The purpose, I think, of the Mueller investigation, independent counsel investigation, is to establish whether, in fact, there was such a collusion. What I would, you know, bear in mind for our listeners here to consider is the words collusion, coordination, cooperation really don't mean much to an intelligence officer. Mm. When I work with the Russian intelligence services as a CIA officer, I sometimes coordinated with them. Occasionally cooperated with them, and in rare circumstances, we even colluded together. But when I did that, I did it with the full knowledge and support of the United States government to serve our national interests. I didn't do it, as would be the case in this instance, to have connections or coordination that would have benefited the Trump campaign at the expense of the other candidate. We would call that treason. Just like we would call treason if a U.S. or a CIA officer were to cooperate with the Russian government for his or her own benefit. So again, I'm not saying that happened. I'm saying the essence of the Mueller investigation's purpose is to determine whether the Trump campaign worked with the Russian government for the purpose of sabotaging Hillary Clinton's campaign.
In
the intelligence world would call that treason.
I have one last question for you, and I've just got 45 seconds here, Mr. Moet Larson. Just this month, the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, and the former CIA director, John Brennan, were at the Aspen Security Forum in Aspen, Colorado, and they were very critical of President Trump. They said that they have serious questions about how he is keeping safe our national security and that we're a nation in crisis right now. They called him very dangerous and his dealings with Putin very dangerous. Do you agree with their assessment? We've got about 30 seconds here.
I do agree with their assessment. I greatly respect both of those gentlemen. I say this very reluctantly. I'm not political. I've been an independent my whole life. I agree with the assessment because we have a series of unprecedented leaks of true information, which should not be happening. But the fact is, every leak we get informs us as to how serious this event is. And I know a number of people, friends of mine, colleagues in the intelligence world, have doubts about the president's loyalties. Mm. Again, I'm not saying anything illegal or immoral was done, but I am saying that it's a serious question in people's minds.
Well, Rolf Moet Larson is director of the Intelligence and Defense Project at Harvard's Belfer Center. He served for 23 years as a CIA intelligence officer. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.